Where are we turning today? Come on. You ought to say James. I'll give him that a chance. Where are we turning today?
James.
James, good. Excellent. Wow, that was great. Okay, James. So let's turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And I'll start with verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they might obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature, the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God, our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. Brethren, these things not ought to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapefruit bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise with understanding among you? Let him show it by good conduct, that his works are done in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where there is envy, self-seeking exists, confusion, and every evil work are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Amen. All right, let's close our Bibles and we're dismissed. I'm just joking. Thank you. Did you hear? He said, oh no, that was nice. Hey, guys in the back, could you just take a blank sheet of paper like this and put a big fat 8 on it, a big fat 8 on it, and then bring it up here. That would be a blessing. Okay. Not a skinny little 8, a big fat 8, okay? So tonight I want to talk about small things make a big difference. Or to say it like this, small words make a big difference. How many small words can make a big difference? James, right in the start, he gives three examples. And the first example is, you know what, a bit in a horse. It's interesting to me because you see these horses and they're huge. They're big, you know what, over 1,000-pound horses. And yet somebody who weighs, you know what, maybe even less than 200 pounds on that horse can direct that horse wherever he or she wants it to go. Now, why is that true? Here's why. Because of a bit. Thank you. So a small bit in a horse's mouth are able to direct that horse. How many horse riders and lovers and, man, you can get on that horse and ride it? Okay. Whoa, man, not most of you, huh? Some of you guys are like me. I don't, you know what, I get on a horse and it's like, uh-oh, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? And Marilyn just laughs at me because I have no idea what I'm doing. But listen, the next example he gives is a small rudder in a ship. A small rudder in a ship. And that small rudder is able to steer that whole ship. And that captain is just there and he's turning that wheel and the whole ship is able to turn however he wants it to go by just a small rudder. Back in the day, the Germans came out with this ship. It was called the Bismarck, and it was a huge battleship, 840 feet, had 8 guns on this ship, and the shells were 15 inch from side to side. So these just humongous. The Bismarck was able to sink the HMS Hood, which was Britain's biggest, most prized ship that they had in their fleet, with one shot. But in May of 1941, you know what? The Bismarck was defeated. You say, how was it defeated? Well, actually, the British Navy went to try to defeat it, and they were losing miserably until they were able to hit the rudder. And once they hit the rudder, the thing couldn't steer it, and it wasn't able, and they were able to fully defeat that huge ship that everybody was intimidated with. Years ago, in 2009, the third example he uses is a spark or a small flame. And that small flame sets the whole forest on fire. We've seen this. But in 2009, the Santa Barbara fire burnt 80 homes, 280 acres. You know, can you imagine 80 homes? 870 acres. And you know what that fire was started with? From a spark from a weed whacker. See, and here's what James says. And he's using these examples because here's what happens. And here's what's happening in your life. I guarantee you this is what's happening in your life. With your tongue, you're either creating life or you're creating death. You're either building people up or you're tearing people down. Amen. And he's saying this is how it works. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that our words are so powerful. It says that, look at here, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is so powerful. It's so powerful. But here's the question I want to ask. What are you doing with your words? Are you giving life to people or are you taking life from people? Are you building people up or are you tearing people down? Are you bringing hope to people or are you bringing despair to people? Are you helping people to feel good or are you enabling people to feel bad? And the interesting thing is that God gives us this power. Every single one of us have that ability. Amen. Have you ever been told by somebody, you know what? Wow, I like your haircut. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden you're like, wow. You know, have you ever been told by somebody, hey, it looks like you're losing weight. Or you know what? Or you look really good in those skinny jeans. You know what I mean? Hello? Have you ever been told something and you just somebody's words, just a simple compliment, all of a sudden makes you feel good about yourself? And maybe you weren't even having a good day, but somebody understood the power that they had in their tongue and they used it to say something nice to you and it just brightened up your day. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 12:18. Look what this says. Proverbs 12:18. This is so awesome. There is one who speaks like piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Have you ever talked to somebody and after you got done talking to them, you felt like you were, you know what, a piece of Swiss cheese? You felt all like you had a bunch of holes in you? Because here's why. Because they were able to to slice you. You know what? But the tongue of the wise promotes health. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. So, here's my question to you. Can we take a word inventory? Can we take a word inventory? I'm just asking, and you can grade your own papers, but please be honest. You don't help yourself if you cheat in this test. But if I were to ask you, what does your words look like? If you took all the words that you've used, let's say today, are you thinking? If you took all the words that you used today, if you took all the words that you used this week, if you took all the words that you used, let's just this month, here's what I'm asking. In all the words that you used, and being fair and accurate, and grading your own paper, would you have a lot of words of encouragement? Or would you have a lot of words of discouragement? Of criticism? Of complaining? I'm talking about as you speak to other people, including family members. If your family judged your paper, would they say, you know what, you're positive and encouraging with your words? Or would they say, you're negative and you cut with your words? What would others say about you? Or let me ask this, let's take an inventory like this. Let me ask you this, what about this? When you talk to yourself, do you build yourself up or do you tear yourself down? Because these are absolutely critical. I've only got 3 points tonight, and we'll go by these quickly, but I want you to notice what the Bible says, and I want to teach this to you. Number one, write this down. If you can't say anything nice, shh. If you can't say, yeah, my mom used to say that. Your mom was a smart lady. If you can't say anything nice, then here's what I would intend for you to do. Just be quiet. Just be silent. Look at what Ephesians says. Look at what Ephesians says. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt. Now, I've taught you this. When we see the word let, what does let mean? Thank you, the pretty blonde in the front. Thank you. Let is an act of your will. Let is saying, this is up to you. You can either let that happen. You know, how many know, nobody holds a gun to your head. Nobody's twisting your arm. You say what you want to say. And so the Bible says, let no corrupt word. You know what that word corrupt means? Have you ever opened the refrigerator, and when you open it, you're like, man, it's so long, I'm going to get something in the refrigerator. And you open the refrigerator, and you recognize that something was left in there for way too long. You're like, oh, I'm so hungry. Ooh, I'm not hungry no more. You ever done that? Your clothes are, you know what I mean? It's like, okay. That's what that word corrupt means. It means it's rotten. And what Paul is telling us in Ephesians is he's saying there's these words and they can come out of your mouth and they can create just like a rotten smell that just is just kind of disgusting. And all of a sudden, how many know a rotten smell can, you know what, you can all be, you're all going to park and you're going to have a good day, and all of a sudden, and you go by something that smells rotten, and what happens to your day? It's just like, yuck, you know what I mean? You're right, you know what I mean? Listen, that's what he's saying. He's saying, here's what I don't want. I don't want you to let, understanding that you control your tongue. Understanding that you control your tongue. I don't want you to let any corrupt word, not let no, look at, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that you might impart grace to the hearers. You know what, when you talk, let me tell you about when you talk. When you talk, somebody is hearing you. Even if you're alone, you're hearing yourself. But when you're talking, people are hearing you. And Paul says in Ephesians, here's what I want you to do. Make sure that no corrupt word is proceeding out of your mouth. You know what I mean? Listen, I drew this, and I used to have this up here, you know what, all the time, and this is going to remain here, that I can remind this whole church. Here, 8 or above. Everybody say 8 or above.
8 or above.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but I didn't like those taquitos, or what are we having today? I didn't like those tostadas. Quiet. Amen. I'm not saying the tostadas weren't good. I had them; they were delicious. But I'm just saying, you know, quiet. You know what? You know, I didn't like that song they sang. Quiet. Okay. I didn't like, you know what? Because here's the truth: in the course of time, even in a church like this, how many know we can find all kinds of things to criticize? You know what I mean? It's too cold. It's not cold enough. You know what? Pastor sings too loud. Pastor doesn't sing loud enough. Why does pastor sing at all? Right? I mean, we can come up with all kinds of things. You know what? I think they should have, you know what? And we can get in tendencies where it's like, hey, shh. Be quiet. I don't understand. You know what? I think they should have it where you go in that way and out that way instead of in that way and out that way, because it just don't make sense. You know what don't make sense? It don't make sense that you're talking. Come on. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Suppose you're not. No, really? Really? 8 or above. You know what I mean? But see, here's what happened. We just get in this rut of 4. We just get a rut of 3. We just get a rut of 2s. We get a rut of 5s. And we get used to just talking this way and thinking that we have to critique everything and critique everybody and make judgments on everything. See, somebody said, turn it down. You know what I mean? Okay. I'm just saying we could do this. Do you understand? We could do this all day long. I'm going to show you this over and over and over again, because let me tell you something about church. Let me tell you something about family. You know what? I want to go to a church where people are friendly and people are nice. Here's a deep revelation. You ready? Deep, this is deep. This is really deep. Are you ready? Deep revelation. Christians ought to be nice. Christians ought to be nice. And one of the ways that you're nice is looking at someone and saying, man, I appreciate, you know what I mean? I appreciate you. You know what? Peter, I appreciate that you come to prayer. You know what? I'll just stick on Peter for a while. Peter, I appreciate that you come to prayer. I appreciate that you vacuum those rugs in the back and after he vacuums for me. I appreciate, let me tell you something about Peter. Peter comes up to me. You know what? I'll be doing praise and worship. Peter will come up to you and give me a big hug and a big smile. You know what? Peter's always smiling at me. You know what? Peter likes how I preach. Amen. Okay, what am I doing? I'm just using my words. And I'm not making any of this up. Can I tell you the truth is, there's not one of you in this congregation that if I had time, I couldn't build you up. And we should be a congregation that we come together and the only thing that proceeds out of our mouth is 8s and above. Because let me tell you what, that's a congregation. That's the kind of church that people want to be part of. And it's so easy. And you know what? And that's why this message is so important that we hear. And we need to hear this message over and over and over again. Because it's so easy as we are around people at work that just complain. I used to work for Albertsons. I worked for Albertsons for 25 years. You know what? And it was so easy to get in that atmosphere, and everybody was complaining, and they're complaining about this, and they complain about that, you know what? You know what? It shouldn't have been called Albertsons. It should have been called Winersons. You know what? You know what? Get your food, but get out as soon as you can, because there are a bunch of whiners working here. You know what? Why? Because that was the atmosphere. And listen, and we can have that same atmosphere. I don't want to have that atmosphere in church. This is a place where we need to build, you know what, this is a place where Jesus is lifted up, but this is a place where we can come. This is a sanctuary, and this sanctuary should not be a sanctuary in this auditorium, but this whole property ought to be a sanctuary of negativity, a sanctuary of criticism, you know, where there's just no corrupt word proceeds out of our mouth. Amen. That's a place I want to be part of. That's the church that I want to pastor. I'm going to give you another church a chance to say amen. That's the church that I want to pastor. Amen. And you know what? And that's the church that you want to go to. But let me tell you what. That's the church that the person not sitting next to you yet, if you have a seat, nobody's there, they're going to come to that kind of church. Because that's what kind of church we all want. Number one, you know what? If you can't say anything nice, just shh, be quiet. Number two, if you think something nice, say it. Amen? If you think something nice, say it. Oh, but I was thinking that. You know what I mean? I was thinking that. Well, say it. Say it. I used to love... My dad for many years used to come to this church, and I would love my dad, because the next day I would call him, and he would always tell me, you know what, he was such an encourager. He'd always tell me, you know what, Drew, I don't know where do you get all your examples. You know what, you just come up with these great examples. I love your sermon yesterday. It was so great. It was so encouraging. It was so good. I love that. See, he wasn't just thinking that, he was saying it. You know what? You know? What are you doing? I'm thinking about how pretty you are. That's weird, amen? Don't think that, say it, amen? Tell someone. Don't just think things, say them. Don't just think things, say something. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. But what I said earlier, man, everybody likes a compliment. Everybody likes a compliment. Look at think about it for a minute. Words are powerful. And so God saw Peter. How many know what kind of character Peter had? Peter one minute would be saying something awesome. You know what? One minute he's saying, when Jesus asked, who are you? One minute Peter's saying, you're the Son of God. And Jesus is saying, oh, that's awesome, Peter. Heaven, you know what? That you know, you didn't get that except from God. God revealed that to you. But then, watch this. But then just right around the corner, just moments later, you know what? He was telling Jesus that he shouldn't go to the cross. And you know what Jesus tells Peter? He says, get behind me, Satan. And this whole time, and we can read Peter's just like, you know what, crazy, all in and then all out and then all in and all out. And we understand the roller coaster that Peter was. You know what? We understand his inconsistencies. And the whole time, you know what Jesus calls him? He calls him, you know what, Peter, you know what you are? You're a rock. You're a rock. Abram doesn't have any children. And God tells him this. He says, let me tell you what. You're a father of a multitude. That's what he tells him. Here's what I'm saying. God speaks to you, and he sees with all your imperfections. You know what he looks at? He looks at, you know what, who he's designed you to be. And he speaks that over you. He sees the junk, but he is speaking, you know what, to your spirit. What am I saying? I'm saying that's how we ought to do others. That's how we ought to do ourselves. Sometimes we're the most harsh on ourselves. And God wants us to speak words of life to ourselves. He wants us to remind ourselves what God says about us. Now think about it for a minute. Because many times, listen to me, many times people, they don't understand the power of words. They don't understand, even though the Bible says, Proverbs says, life and death and power of the tongue, but they don't understand that. Well, think about from Genesis. God said, let there be light, right? God said, let there, you know what? He said, let's just turn there real quick. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light. Chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Chapter 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb and seed, yield seed, and fruit trees that yield according to its kind. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament and the heavens to divide the day from the night. Verse 16, and God said, let the two lights and the greater light rule the day and the lesser light rule the night. He also made the stars. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament or the heavens. You know what? I love our house because our house, you know what, is by the riverbed. True story. So I get up, yesterday, and I go to the pool, true story, and there's two ducks in our pool. Amen. We have a fountain out front, and in our fountain, you know what, the birds come and they use it as a bird bath, and we have birds that are flying in our fountain all the time. Can I tell you? And we sit there and we just enjoy the birds, and we enjoy, well, I enjoyed the ducks. Tamara didn't see the ducks, but here's what I'm saying. Why do we have birds that are flying over our heads? Here's why. Because God said, let there be light. Or let there be light. Let there be for birds that'll fly. Everything, listen, everything that you see was created, and here's how it was created. God said it. Now, there's people who make fun of this concept, but let me tell you what. Everything that you see was created by somebody saying it at some point in time. It's absolutely true. But here's why we don't understand that. Here's why, can I tell you why we're sometimes sloppy with our words and sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say? Here's why. Because there's not this immediate consequence. Hello? I'm just asking. In other words, let's say you go to a honky-tonk. Y'all know what a honky-tonk is? Thank you. Okay, so you go to a honky-tonk, and you know what? And you start, you know what? Doing your moves and all your stuff, and then somebody else is doing all their stuff, and then I'm just saying, and then in a course of time, a little time, like that night, and you're not married, but guess what? You have sexual relations, you know what? And you go home. And you're like, man, that was a good night. Okay. And let me tell you why you're saying, man, that was a good night. Because there's not this immediate consequence for your action. But what if there was an immediate consequence for your action? In other words, what if pregnancy came in 4 hours? Come on, I'm just asking. So you go to the honky-tonk, you're doing your dancing stuff, and you're making all your moves, and then you know what? And then you have sexual relationships, and then all of a sudden, guess what happens in the morning? You got a baby. Come on, somebody. Like, Pastor, I don't even know whether to say amen or what to say about that illustration. Because I don't know, you know, I'm just being real with somebody. But I'm asking, if that happened, how many know, you know what, there would be a whole different behavior in the honky-tonks. Come on. You'd be like, dude, get away from me. Right? Come on, somebody. Here's all I'm saying. You know what? It's the same thing with our words. And so because, listen to me, because that's kind of a crazy illustration, but I need you to understand this. Don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And we think that we can say things and it doesn't make any difference. But our words are going to take effect in your life. Listen, we are a sum total of everything that we've been saying about our life. Amen. Amen. The reason why you don't recognize that's true is because some of the things that you're saying, they take a little time to manifest. But trust me, they're going to manifest. And here's why I can tell you that. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. Can I show it to you in the scripture? Look at, guys, you got to flow with me in the back. Look at Mark, excuse me, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And start with the 12th verse. Mark chapter 11. And start with the 12th verse. Look what it says. Mark chapter 11, start, 12. Now the next day when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if it perhaps might have something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. So Jesus responded, what did he do? He said to it. He said to it. See, what is our calling? Our calling is to change situations on this earth. Pray like this, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You, the Bible says, are the light of the world. You say, no, Jesus is the light of the world. No, Jesus said, he did say, I am the light of the world, but he also said, you are the light of the world. Amen. See, many times people argue with this stuff, but they argue it out of ignorance. I'm teaching you what the Bible says. He said to a tree, hey, he spoke death to that tree. And here's what he's doing. He's not only cursing that tree, but he's teaching you and I something. And he's going to teach the apostles something who are right there. Watch this. Verse 20. Now in the morning, he speaks death to the tree that day, but then in the morning, the next day, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Rabbi, Rabbi, look. Now, let me tell you why he said, whoa, Rabbi, look, trip out. That's what he's saying. Here's why. Because Peter is like us. We think that words don't make any difference. We think we can say this and say that, and you know what, it doesn't make any difference. Here's what I'm telling you. That makes a difference. Stop cursing your family. Stop cursing your wife. Stop cursing your marriage. Stop cursing your spouse. Stop cursing your husband. Stop cursing your health. Stop cursing your finances. Stop saying stuff that is, you know, oh, it don't make any difference. You know, you're going to job, you know, oh, probably won't get this job. Silencio, por favor. Be quiet. Don't say that. Oh, it don't make any difference what I say. That's why Peter's like, whoa, trip out. Because here's what Peter thought. Peter thought it didn't make any difference. See, in the spiritual realm, everything that you see was made by God who said it, and you were made, you know what, in the image of God. You have a tongue. You were made like God. You were put on this earth to change things. You are to speak like God. You are to speak just like God speaks. He calls the things that aren't as though they were. That's what he does. And we just go, oh, that's who it is. That's how, oh, you know what? Listen, can I talk to somebody tonight? All this, you know what? One of the reasons I hate the hip hop. Well, you don't like hip hop? No, I hate hip hop. Let me tell you why. Not because, listen, if they're hip-hopping about Jesus Christ raising from the dead, I'm down for hip-hop. You know what I mean? But can I tell you why? I hate hip-hop because most of the hip-hop has this spirit of, you know what, here's the spirit. It's how it is. It's going to stay this way. Things suck, and it's going to stay sucked. And that's, I'm just telling you, like, I'm just real. No, you're just like, You're just like foolish. Because let me tell you what. Maybe that's how it is. Or maybe that's how you were raised. Maybe that's how your family was. Maybe you were in a situation that wasn't the best. Well, listen, join all us. Because I don't know about your family, but my family was way dysfunctional. I'm not... Mom, sorry, I'm not trying to. Hello? See, I'm not called, you know what? And Peter thinks he can just say whatever he wants. He's like tripping out because he doesn't understand. Like many times we don't understand. We read the Bible. Proverbs says, death and life is the power of the tongue. But we think that's just like, what do you think? Like there was just an empty space in Proverbs, and, oh, let me think of one. Life and death is the power of the tongue. Ooh, that sounds good. You know what I mean? No, this is truth. And let me tell you about church. There's a lot of people on the radio, Christian people on the radio, who make fun of this teaching. Well, do me a favor. You know what? Then just rip out James in your Bible. Oh, and while you're ripping out, rip out Mark 11 too. Because let me tell you, I'm going to teach you something tonight, and I'm going to teach you, and listen, argue with what Jesus says. This stuff is made fun of, but it needs to not be made fun of. Because let me tell you what, this stuff works. Amen. Many of you are, listen, I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm trying to be real with somebody. Many of you are proof that it works, you know what, but you're proof on the wrong side. Because you've been speaking death to your life. And it does work. And I'm saying today is the first day of the rest of your life. You know what? Start reading your Bible and start finding out all the promises that God has for you. Here, I'll give you one tonight. You want to walk away with a whopper tonight? Right here from the text. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away. You know why it withered away? Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And Jesus said, nobody's going to eat of this tree anymore. Next verse, watch this. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Amen. Let me preach to you for a minute. Have trust that what God says is true. And then get on his program. Well, I just don't think that. Here, you know what? Stop fighting the system of God. Stop fighting the system of God. He says, no, have faith in God. Watch the next verse. Look at this. For assuredly, I say to you. I've taught you this before, but let me just teach you this for people who haven't ever heard this. When Jesus said, for assuredly, I say this to you. Listen to me. All eyes up here. He's about to tell you something that is phenomenally hard to believe. Amen. And he knows it. So he's going to preface it with, hey, guys, what I'm about to tell you is very hard to believe, but look at me, but I'm telling you the truth. Amen. That's why he says, surely I say to you, whoever. Now, when you read whoever, you know whoever means? Everybody say, whoever means me. Whoever means you. Whoever means, here, this is deep. Whoever means, this is deep, whoever. I told you that was deep. Whoever means whoever does this or whoever doesn't do it. So anybody can do this. Whoever, what's that next word? Says. Whoever says. To the mountain. See, Jesus speaking to a fig tree, but Jesus says, wait a minute. Remember, he did say, assuredly I say unto you, right? Why? Because this is so unbelievable. He says, hey, trust in me. I'm God. Trust that what I'm telling you is the truth. Assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done. He will have whatever he what? He'll have whatever he says. Now listen, you can argue with that teaching. I'm just telling you what, that is what Jesus teaches. And what we would be smarter to do, instead of tripping out that Jesus can speak to a fig tree and it's changed, we should go, oh, that's how it works. And what I'm going to start to do is I'm going to start to speak life to my marriage. You know, so many men just criticize their wife and criticize their wife and criticize their wife and criticize their wife and criticize their wife. And so, oh, she's a nag. 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 She's shh. Why are you doing that? So many wives just criticize their husband. He ought to pray more and he ought to, you know what? He oughta. Here, why don't you pray more? Amen? And I'm not saying, men, I'm not saying we ought to be the example to our wives. But here's what I'm saying, spouses. Stop criticizing your spouse. Start to build them up. You know what's cool? What's cool? You know why you fell in love with your wife? Wives, this is a key. You know why your husband fell in love with you? Because you looked at him, he walked in, and you were like, you heard music. You know what I mean? He walked in, and you know what? He wasn't all that in a bag of chips, but you thought he was. He walked in, you're like, oh, he's here. Amen. And you know what? Listen to me. And he saw the gleam in your eye. And he loved it. What I'm saying is, that's how we ought to be. You know, I remember one time, you know what? I was at a church and they had a women's prayer meeting in the day, you know what I mean? And I hung out at the church all the time because I was a church rat, you know what I mean? And I was just going down the hall, you know what? And the there was a door right here, and it was not a door, a walkway right here, and there was a hall here, and I was, and the women were in this women's Bible study, and I was walking down the hall for something, and I passed the doorway about four steps, and I stopped. You know why I stopped? Because I smelled something. You know what I smelled? I smelled Tamara's perfume. And I got a big smile on my face, and I thought, ooh. And I went back, and I looked, Tamara's here. Tamara's here. I got all excited. Can I tell you what? That's how we ought to be. We ought to be that about each other. We ought to be that about our church. We ought to be that about our kids. We ought to be that about our grandkids. We ought to be that about our life. And I understand. I know. Life's not perfect. You know what? We go through all kinds of rocky roads and all kinds of stuff. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, what I'm declaring to you is that what we can do with our words is we can make our lives better. We can make our kids' lives better. We can make our marriages better. We don't have to act like the world acts. The world acts like you know this. The world acts like, who does it act like, Tamara? Like Eeyore, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Hey, you know what? Oh, dear. No Eeyores, amen? Right? Let's take, listen, and I'm not saying that there's not serious challenges that you have in your life. Here's what I'm saying. Use the power of your tongue to change those situations. Because let me tell you what, assuredly I say to you, you can change your marriage. Assuredly I say to you, you can speak life over your body. You can speak life. You know, if you can speak life to a mountain, you think, man, I always be out of it. I'll never get out of this credit card debt. You know what I mean? I'll never. You know, I'll tell you what. I just eat one chip, and it goes right to my thigh. You know what I mean? I just never lose this weight. I've always been out of shape. Silencio, por favor. Stop cursing your family. Stop cursing your marriage. Stop cursing your kids. Stop cursing your life. Amen? Let's do the opposite. Let's speak blessing. Let's be a church. Well, you know one of the things I love to do? I do this on purpose. I said, tell somebody something good. You know what? I'll close with this. We're in my office the other day, talking to some people, and I just felt led by the Spirit to just before we left, I said, hey, before we leave, let's just do this. Let's just go around the room and tell the person on your left something good. And we went around the room and we just spoke life to each person, said, there was maybe eight people or something in the room, and we just spoke life. And then we got our way around the room, and then we went the other way. I said, now let's go the other way. And we listened to everybody. I'm telling you what, by the time we got done, you know what, everybody was built up. There probably wasn't a dry eye in my office. You know what I mean? We're all crying, you know what I mean? But we were crying, but we were happy. Can I tell you what? That's the church I want to serve. That's the church I want to be a pastor of. That's what I want to build. And I want to encourage every single one of you, take responsibility for your homes. Take responsibility for your lives. Sweetie.
It's interesting because when you said that, you said, we were in my office and we just took the last few minutes to go around the room and to speak life. The Bible says life and death comes out of the power of the tongue. So we're either speaking life or we're speaking death. That's an interesting way to look at it. It's a good, we ought to start to, wouldn't it be cool if we had like these little barometers, and as soon as that it would just, you know how the Fitbit like tracks every step that you take and all that kind of, wouldn't it be cool if we could get like a bit on our mouth that every word of death that came out and every word of life that came out, and we would see at the end of the day on our little Fitbit thing how much death we spoke. I think many of us would be shocked. But it is being recorded before the Lord. He has that device. You understand this? He says that we're going to give account for every word that comes from our mouth when we stand before him. That kind of, well, I really want that technology. That would be cool. Check out this scripture. It'll kind of freak you out a little bit, and then I'm just going to close this out. Jesus said that your mouth speaks whatever your heart is full of. And now look at the context. Let me read the whole thing to you. That's just right in the middle as he's dealing with something. It's in Matthew 12, verse 34 and 35. And he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings forth good things out of the good that's stored up in him, and an evil man brings out evil things out of the evil that's stored in him." Our mouth is speaking whatever's in our heart. That's something for us to examine with our little device. Wow, we would make a million, I think, if we came up with that puppy. How could we do that? I don't know. I bet you there's a way. I was watching a lady today. They've got an app that does that with phones, cell phones and things like that for kids. I think it's called Bark. And it monitors their computers, their phones, all this stuff, so that it picks up on words and it alerts the parents, you know what, if there's anything going on that's maybe unsafe for the children. It's kind of cool. That's kind of, we need Bark for our mouth. That would be good. All righty. Eight or above. That's cool because eight's a good number. Eight's a new beginning. We could have new beginnings if we begin to do eight or above, right? No more low speaking coming from our mouth. Amen.